Amen, amen. Acts chapter number 8, verses 26 through 30. Ministering in the moment. Ministering in the moment. Sometimes what we tend to do is we look for the right time, the right place to minister to people. And the truth of the matter is, there's no right or perfect time to minister to people. And there's no wrong way or time to minister. I think the difference is in essence how you approach the matter. And I'm saying how you approach it, it has to do with when God gives you a release to go there. You can't go on your own just because you feel like going.
That's right.
And then tell God to catch up with you after you're deep in trouble. Always pray and ask God to release you to minister to someone. Notice I'm saying minister to someone and not have a conversation with them or talk with them. That's not what God is calling us to do. God's calling us to minister to a person. When I say minister to a person, in essence, what I'm saying to you is that God is calling you to share with that person the life, the power of Jesus Christ. Only Jesus Christ can save us. God chose not to save us except we go through Jesus Christ. You can't skip Jesus and say, I want to know God. You can't pick your own God. You have to go through Jesus Christ. Well, why is that necessary for me to go through another man in order to get to my God? It's because he paid the price for our sins. And so if we don't take that route, we don't have enough godly or holiness within us to approach God. And so here we are, all lost. We're trying to approach God, and God is saying, get away, you dirty. I don't even know you. And so when we accept the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we say, now the grace of God comes upon us through the cross.
Yeah.
Without a cross, we are lost.
All right, man.
Without a cross, we are lost. And so what we need is we needed someone to die and pay for our sins.
Uh-huh.
Every time you sin, you trespass against God. You are indebted to him. If you are indebted to someone, then obviously you have to pay your debt.
Uh-huh.
We don't have anything that God says, okay, I'll accept that for this sin or that sin.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing that he accepted was the blood of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the payment for our sin.
Mm-hmm.
And excuse me tonight if I'm being elementary to you, but I'm speaking to someone where all of this stuff has always been confusing to, and I pray that I'm being a blessing to you, where we understand why we need Jesus. Now, when we say that we need Jesus because that opens the door to grace.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Now, what grace does, grace allows us to pay for something that we really can't afford to pay for. And so, because Jesus died on the cross, grace was made available to us if we walk through the cross and in the blood of the Lamb. You remember in the Old Testament, it was called Passover. And that is everywhere the blood was death passed over. Every time you sin, what you're entitled to is death. Death doesn't mean I stop breathing. Death means I'm disconnected from God. Because even when I die, my spirit is still alive.
All right, ma'am.
But what I need to be is connected to God. If I'm connected to God, even though I'm dead, death has no power even over me. Because I'm still in Jesus.
Yeah, right.
Because you're in Jesus, there's no pain, there's no fear, there's nothing to worry about when you die. Because the Bible declares to be absent from the body. It refers to your spirit. Okay? So when you die, instantly your spirit leaves your body. You remember the story of Lazarus, where Lazarus, oh, he's been dead for 4 days. Because in biblical times, the thought was the spirit stays in your body for 3 days. And then on the fourth day, it leaves. And so here comes Jesus saying, I'm going to disprove that. I'll show up on the fourth day when the spirit is supposed to be gone, but I'll show you that I am the resurrection. You may have some stuff dead in your life, not for 4 days, but for 4 years. And Jesus says, now it's time for it to get up in your life. See, it makes no difference how long you've been waiting on him. The Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew. Renew means to bring back something that was. If you didn't have it, he can't renew it. That's why it's important that we take our time tonight to understand the power of ministry. Because the power of ministry is to introduce people to Jesus Christ.
All right now.
So God will put you in the path of other people. When he puts you in the path of other people, he does it for a reason.
That's right.
Now, the Bible declares that iron sharpens iron, which means that quite often God will allow you to go in the path of somebody just like you.
All right.
But I can't see me, I see you, so I can judge you and tell you how to fix you. And then God reverse the mirror and say, that's you right there. No, not me. I'm not like that. And then God will allow you to see you. And when you see you, you'll discover that God is trying to bring the best out of you.
All right, now.
Now, the story tonight is kind of an interesting story, because it's like the third time that I read it, or the fifth time, then I kind of got the story. Okay? Now, the story is about a young man by the name of Philip. Philip knows Jesus.
All right.
Back in Acts chapter number 6, and remember we're in Acts chapter number 8. Philip is one of the deacons. I told you about the book. Philip is one of the deacons in which the people looked out among them and chose Philip. So Philip is not a preacher. You do not have to be a preacher to lead someone to Christ. The truth of the matter is, your responsibility as a pastor is to take control of the sheep that is in the house, so that you train them, equip them, so that when they leave the house, they minister. It is not my job to increase life-changing church. That's your job. If you don't like the empty seats here on Sunday morning or on Wednesday, it's your fault. Because you should be opening your mouth. You should be ministering to people, because you have that responsibility.
That's right.
So the Bible says sheep got sheep. In other words, listen to what he said. And sheep got sheep. He's saying that because you're a preacher, you don't know their language. But now you, because you club with them, because you hang out with them,
All right.
You know exactly what to say to them to move them. Remember, I started all this talking about a relative of mine? So we're in the same household, so I should have known exactly how to minister to him, because that's all I've ever seen all of my life. The same people that you used to be in the club with, used to be hanging out with, nobody can minister to that person better than you. That's perhaps why Paul was so effective in ministry, because he'd been out there in the world. What we do is join the church and say, I don't want to talk to them anymore. You need to talk to them. You don't need to join the church and talk to the person to your left or your right. They're already saying, go back, reach out, and touch one. But they're not saved. They're not saved. They smell like alcohol. They just left here. And God is saying, good. Because that was us once upon a time. And the truth of the matter, every now and then, it's still us. So you know how to minister. But we come to church and we get real holy. Oh, praise the Lord. Lord. My God. Listen. I'm not knocking your relationship with God. I'm just saying, keep it real. Because you don't always feel holy. You're not always caught up in the spirit. Every now and then, you come out. And when you come out, you know what you like to do. See, God knows you, but He called you anyway. He says, before I formed thee in the womb, in the valley, He says, I knew you. I knew what kind of joker you were, but I still chose you. You didn't choose them. He chose you because He knew the work for you to do.
Philip hanging out,
and you know, Philip been a deacon for a couple of years, or at least 2 chapters, and you know, I don't know how long 2 chapters is. So he's just chilling, and he's just sitting by, and all of a sudden this chariot comes by. I can imagine this chariot comes by. You know, when you see the president, you see this long line of cars, just one car after another. And so he's sitting and he's like, well, who is this dude riding this Bentley chariot? It's hot out here, it's dusty. Who is this dude riding by?
With his entourage.
And so he's listening. And so this man is sitting there struggling,
Jesus,
trying to read the Bible.
All right,
oh, you can relate to that.
Yeah.
You ever try to read the Bible and thus saith the Lord and thou, and you're like, who is that? And then you run across a name that is 5 miles long and you just like, H, you know, H, I'll just call it H. I can't pronounce all that. You know what I'm talking about.
So
he's sitting there. It was the custom in biblical days that when you read the word of the Lord, you read it out loud.
Uh-huh.
So here he is struggling over it, talking about some man going to the to a lamb, and he's going to lose all his humility, and somebody going to kill him, and he can't say a mumbling word. And you know, he's like, now, is this talking about this man or another man? Philip says, remember, Philip is not the preacher. Philip says, do you understand
what you're
reading?
All right, now.
That's all of us. When we begin to read the word of the Lord. But watch this. Remember, the Holy Spirit did not send Philip.
All right, now.
The angel of the Lord sent Philip.
Yes.
Right.
In other words, God is saying, I'm going to use you. I'm going to send you before the Holy Spirit can come. Because the Holy Spirit cannot come until you first receive Jesus Christ. You are a representation of God. You are Jesus' brothers and sisters. He needs you to open your mouth so that someone can understand. Then the Holy Spirit comes. And so they just chill. And he says, man, I don't understand what this is. He says, will you help me?
Will you help me?
So he brings Philip up, and Philip began to preach to him. Now, notice what your Bible says, and that is, your Bible says, look at verse number 31, please. You see verse number 31? Read verse number 31, please.
And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him.
Now, he wants some man to guide him. He says guide. He means explain. Remember, the angel of the Lord sent Philip. A man sent Philip. And so now this Ethiopian guy wants another man to explain to him the word of God. Keep reading, please.
The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer.
Like a what?
Lamb dumb before his
shearer. Like a lamb.
Lamb dumb.
Jesus is the Lamb of God.
Yes.
So what he is reading is about Jesus going to the cross. Keep reading.
All right.
So opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? for his life is taken from the earth.
Listen to this. His life is taken from the earth.
All right, now.
There is three levels of this universe.
All right, now.
You have the earth, which is where we are. Mm-hmm. We have what you call the sky, second level. And then you have the heaven. Okay? Three levels. So what he's saying is that his life is taken from this earth. The Bible is very specific in what it says. In other words, what God wants us to know, he allowed someone to write exactly that. He didn't say his life is taken from the heavens. He says from the earth. Okay, so listen to this now. So now he begins to explain to him the word of the Lord that he's reading. Philip was not a perfect man. Philip wasn't even a preacher. He was a deacon that some people chose. And notice when he had the opportunity to preach, he preached Jesus Christ. He didn't tell the man, you need to put the bottle down. He didn't tell the man, you need to come out the club. He didn't tell the woman, your dress too short. He preached Jesus Christ and Jesus alone. That's why we don't get an increase in the church, because we call it preaching, but we mailing them folks stuff. Keep reading.
Of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man?
So he's confused. He says, now, is the prophet talking about himself? Or is he referring to another man? Keep reading.
Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus.
Preach what?
Jesus.
Jesus. Not who shot John? Jesus. I don't care where you're coming from. Jesus. I don't care about your issues. Jesus. I don't care about your shortcomings. Jesus. If you want to lead somebody to Christ, just preach Jesus. That's why I'm always trying to stand here short as I can and preach just Jesus so you can go home, because the longer you stand, then you want to tell what's going on in the news. You don't come to church for a news report. You come to church because you're going through something and you need to be introduced to somebody who's a battle line. Somebody who's a bridge over your troubled water. Somebody who can deliver you. Somebody who can make ways out of nowhere. You don't want to hear about the news. Keep reading.
All right, now.
And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water.
Now wait.
Here's water.
Wait. So here he is preaching Jesus.
Uh-huh.
And they come to water.
Uh-huh.
And he says, see, there's some water right there. I wonder why we have to call you five times to get you to be baptized in some heated water. I wonder why. Then you call on Sunday morning and say, well, I can't come. And come on, people.
Yeah.
So he sees the water. Keep reading.
And the eunuch said, see, here is water. And what doth hinder me to be baptized?
What hinder me from being baptized?
What's that?
I received the word.
Uh-huh.
I believe with all of my heart. And here's the water for me to be baptized. Uh-huh. What prevents it?
Yes, yes.
Because of what you think. The truth of the matter is, I don't care what you think. Because when I begin to go through something, you're laughing at me anyway. So I'm not concerned about you. The truth of the matter is, I need to be about pleasing God and not about man. The truth of the matter is, what somebody thinks about you, their opinions, it really doesn't matter. When I'm going through something, I already know I can't call on you. And the truth is, sometimes God will put you in a place where you can only call on him. God, when I call him, he's never too busy. I thank God I can call him early in the morning, late at night. He's right there.
Yes,
thank you. Have you ever called him late at night?
Yes.
Everybody else sleep. You need to be asleep, but you can't sleep. And somehow you find your secret causer. And you say, Jesus, this is your daughter. Jesus, this is your son. Won't he show up in your life?
And Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, he's stepping on you because he's moving away from being just a man. Because now he's talking about Jesus Christ. Christ, not Jesus' last name, by the way, means that he is the Messiah, the anointed one. So now he's moving into the spirit realm. See, a man can lead you to Christ, but can't nobody do for you what God can do for you. You may walk me to church, but it's a personal relationship once I show up. I'm on my own here, baby. And the truth of the matter, I don't need a preacher. I can get there by myself. The truth of the matter, I don't need music. I can get there by myself. When I think about the goodness of God, I can get there.
Amen. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip.
The Spirit grabbed Philip, took Philip away. He never saw Philip again because perhaps Philip was no longer needed. Don't you hate it when people lead you to Christ and think they own your salvation? Because I brought you here. No, you didn't bring me here. And if you brought me here, when you leave, I got to leave. No, God led me here. I ain't thinking about you. You can go as you want to go, but I know where my word is coming from. You can leave if you want to leave, but I know what God is doing for me. See, what ministry is about introducing people to Jesus Christ, and then you're on your own. You don't owe anybody anything here.
Amen.
You don't owe anyone anything. What you owe God, your reasonable service to him, is just to give him some praise.
Yes.
He gave you everything else. You have nothing to give to him other than when you volunteer to give him praise.
Okay.
Volunteer to give him worship. And since we're talking about praise and worship, listen to me. Praise gets you in front of him. Worship takes you behind. Worship take you to a place where nothing and no one can stop you. See, you gotta move beyond the little, oh, just raise my hand. This is though when you really get sincere. You know how sometimes ain't nobody messing with you and you start crying anyway, and then you move into that place of worship and the bills are still past due, but I'm alright with that. And the haters are still there, but I'm alright with that. And everything is going wrong, but I'm alright because with my soul.
Thank you.
I said it is well with my soul. I know that I have a relationship with him. You can walk out if you want to. You can act crazy and dumb if you want to. But it is well. And that it is the relationship with God. You can't take that from me. You can put me in prison. I still have that relationship. You can leave me, but I still have that relationship. You can talk about me, but I still have that relationship with him.
It is well.
With my soul. That's where we have to strive to be. Everything is crazy. A world of confusion. In spite of, I'm okay. I know it looks bad. But I'm okay.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
See, there's one thing I know. He didn't bring me this far.
Ooh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God.
He didn't bring me this far. If he wanted to take me out, he could have did a long time ago.
Hallelujah.
Lord,
I thank you. Thank you, Lord.
Cancer wasn't to kill you. It was to wake you up.
Yes. Thank you.
Car accident wasn't to kill you.
Alright now.
It was to shift you.
Thank you, Lord.
God is always up to
something. Always.
Thank you, Lord.
Let me say this in closing.
Thank you, Lord.
When God moves sometimes, he moves in unpopular ways.
Alright now.
Sometimes sometimes when God moves in your life, it's not how you imagine it.
All right,
man. You remember when you were praying? When you said, God, I want you to give me a cute blessing. I want you, God, in the midst of my finances, just to allow me to find some money. Just bless me. And then you lose your job.
All right, man.
I didn't say that, God. I said, find the money. And so there you are with no job.
All right.
And he's telling you, but your gift will make room for you. I don't want to hear that right now. I'm talking about the money I need to find so I can be delivered. There you are, without a job.
All right,
man. Have you ever prayed to God, and I'm being personal, when things got worse?
Yes, Lord. Yes.
And I'm smart.
All right, man.
So I said, Tonya, if I don't pray as much, then it won't get worse. So sometimes we're praying, seriously.
Yes, Lord.
And things get worse.
Yes, Lord.
And God is saying, press in.
Yes. Trust me. Hallelujah. Yes.
Sometimes we come to church and we say, Lord, have your way. I'm a little bit afraid to say that these days.
All right, now.
I really am.
All right.
God will take you through something. You don't make it through. Well, God will take you through something.
Yes, He will.
And so here we are saying, Lord, have your way. And He says, okay. Not only do you lose your job, then you lose the insurance benefit.
Yes.
Then you get sick.
Yes. Lord, have mercy. What's me?
God, I need you to deliver me.
Yes, Lord.
But you're still faithful.
Yes.
And He says, all you need is the faith, the grain of a mustard seed.
One day,
stop reading. One day.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
I'm not waiting.
Yes, yes.
All
Lord.
Of a sudden, things just change.
Thank you, Lord. Oh, yes.
Things just change.
Yes. Thank you, Lord. Yes,
remember
Lord.
Remember I told you earlier?
Oh, yes. Lord.
It's about release.
Yes.
See, God knows exactly.
Yes, Lord.
What you can bear.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank
Every
you.
Every mile, He moves the line. Always ensuring.
Oh,
listen to
yes.
me. That He doesn't release you until you are past what you can bear. Beyond what you can bear. Listen, because somebody lied. He'll never put more on you than you can bear. Every time He'll put more on you than you can bear. It's called stretching your faith. And so in the church, we said, what's wrong with me? Because I should be able to bear. Ain't nothing wrong with you. God is just trying to show you that you're not Him and that you need Him. And so He'll allow you to be in a situation where you really have to call on the same. And so when you begin to call on the same, even though it's more than you can bear, He graced you in a season. When He graced you in a season, you don't have the money, but it comes to find out you don't need the money because He's gracing you right there. Come to find out they don't have a cure for your disease, but He's gracing you right there. You all alone, everything is upside down, but He's gracing you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Right there.
Thank you, Lord. Thank
Come on and stand with me tonight as we begin to
Hallelujah.
Ministering in the moment.
Thank you, Lord.
There's no better time to minister. Than right now.
Thank you, Lord.
No better time.
Thank you, Lord.
I think what I love about this story and what this book introduced me to is how all of this happened and no preacher stood up and got credit for it.
Thank you.
That's powerful.
Thank you, Gary.
Powerful. The word deacon comes from the Greek dekoshon.
Yes.
It means serve.
Yes. Yes.
Serve. When we realize that we are servants.
Yes. Yes. Servants. Yes.
When we, all of us,
yes,
realize,
yes,
that we are servants,
yes,
of God.
That's right.
Then we understand where our help and our power comes from.
That's right.
Is from Him.
Yes.
That's why He says, look to the hill. Don't look at man. Don't look at your situation. Don't look at your circumstance. He said, but seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness. All else, He says, I'll take care of you. I promise you, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. I promise you, no weapon formed against you should prosper.
Yes, yes.
But seek Him.
Seek Him.
He got it.
Oh, yeah.
He got you. He just wants you to serve Him. This unit came. He came to worship. The fact that he's a eunuch means that he doesn't believe or he doesn't practice Christianity.
Right.
But he came perhaps to worship because there was something incomplete,
uh-huh,
in him.
Yes.
You can put crack in it. You can put liquor in it. You can put sex in it. You can put whatever you want. Until you put God.
That's right. That's right.
I want to talk to somebody tonight in closing. You've been putting stuff there, looking, trying to figure out, why don't I feel complete? I want you to pour God inside of you tonight. Just surrender. Here, God, here I am. If that's you tonight and you're here without a church home, you don't have that right relationship or any relationship with Jesus Christ, just surrender. Here I am, God. I don't know what you're going to do with me. I don't know where you're going to take me. But I'm in it for the ride. One thing I do know is that you're going to take care of me on the journey. Make it a little rough sometimes. But I'm going to make it to the other side. I may feel like giving up sometimes. But He that is inside of me, the Spirit, is greater than how I feel on the outside. So I'm going to put my hands in your hands. Because you are a deliverer. With everyone tonight.